This is the ZMAR Podcast. Elite Benefits of America helps small and mid-sized companies with their health insurance programs. And now, your host, Butch ZMAR.
So welcome back to the show. I have a guest, Grayson Owen, and we're going to talk about some executive DI topics. How you doing, Grayson?
Doing well, Butch. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Thanks for taking the time. I appreciate you coming on. We're going to talk about a very important topic when it comes to executives and owners, partners in a company, and a huge gap that's involved. But before we get to all that, can you give a little bit of a background on where you came from and how you got into the DI space, and which stands for disability insurance? Can you give us a little background on who you are?
Absolutely. So Grayson Owen with DI Broker East. So we're a brokerage general agency or wholesaler that specializes in individual disability insurance. We only work with brokers and advisors to help their clients with DI. To give you some background on how I got into the business, I entered the insurance business in January 2010. The first 3 or 4 years in the business, I focused mostly on advanced life insurance planning, did a little bit of DI, a little bit of employee benefits. And in 2015, I shifted my focus to the employee benefits market. So I was actually on the broker side. And for the 4 years following that, from 2015 to 2019, I almost exclusively worked in the benefits market. During that time, I had a client that was on a group plan that actually experienced a long-term disability claim. This was the first time that I ever had a client go on long-term claim. And it was very eye-opening. A lot of the information I heard from the HR and from the employee just saying how important that coverage was to keep paying monthly bills like the mortgage, keep food on the table. And that actually was a pivotal moment in my career. And even though I was focusing on the employee benefits market at that point in time, I knew in my heart that I really wanted to shift my focus long-term in my career to be a disability insurance specialist in some capacity. I did not know what direction that was going to be at the time. So I actually started doing a lot of industry designations and certifications to learn as much as possible. So that way, when I'm out facing client facing capacity, when I was a broker, I'd be able to help them to the fullest extent, like I was able to for this employee. And in 2019, I made the decision to go find a DI only role of some kind. And I was afforded the opportunity at the end of 2019 to join DI Broker East and become a wholesaler. So now I'm able to, you know, wake up every day. I work with brokers, advisors, and I help them protect their clients' income and from a variety of business planning risks as well when it comes to disability insurance. So that's pretty much my career so far.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting that you came from the employee benefit side. So your target is this employee benefit brokers to help their executives and partners of a company. And so you bring a different perspective, right? You know where some of the loopholes would be that maybe a typical employee benefit broker wouldn't be able to do or even understand, right? There, it gets so complex, which is one of the reasons I reached out and said, hey, I think we need to talk about, you know, we're going to get to, you know, buy, sell, DI and other things. But we, you know, there's so much, and we can't be experts in everything. And that's okay, right? There was a time where I think even before when I got in on the industry that you tried to be a jack of all trades because you were trying to help your client in so many different ways. Things have gotten so complex in many industries, right? The Affordable Care Act came into our world. You know, there's so many complexities. Self-funded, it's moving downstream to life groups, right? Like there's all this stuff and there's all these things that you have to really start getting good at, which leaves you a gap of trying to protect some of the people from the, you know, from the executive level up, because if you're not protect it right, right? Things fall through the grab. And that's why I know you talk about this on other sources, and we can include information in the show notes, but there's three main categories for the solutions for the DI that you talk about. Can you walk us through those three main solutions that you talk about with your clients?
Absolutely. So Butch, the three main areas of DI planning that I focus on that you're referencing are income protection, so disability insurance to protect an individual's income. The second is executive disability programs, which is also for income protection, but it's a focus on highly compensated executive groups at companies. So generally layering an additional a layer of DI coverage on top of group LTD to help complement and make a corporate disability plan more comprehensive, if you will. Mm-hmm. And then the third area of focus is DI or disability insurance products for business succession planning risk management. So this could be things like disability key person, business overhead expense coverage, and then also disability buyout insurance for buy-sell agreement funding. Mm-hmm. And so those are the three main areas of focus.
For sure. And so, and I think a lot of brokers out there, they focus a lot on the first one, right? Income protection. It's usually a one-way street. Not saying there's bad planning with that. It's just one level of protection, right? Executives are definitely key. But what I want to focus on this podcast, maybe we'll get you on the other ones. We'll talk about the other areas. I think it'll be fun. But the last one, because that's how we re-engaged on at least the talking point of, you know, the DI for other fallouts, right? And so, like, I'm curious about a little input on the overhead expense one, but also, you know, people don't think about, like, you're in business and let's say you become get a partner, right? How do you deal with the payroll part when somebody's not providing value to the company anymore because of a disability, right? Whether it's they need the income, right? Do you suck the business dry because of that? And then also, how do you just get out, right? Like, maybe you're at a point where you're like, you know what, I'm disabled now to some capacity, just buy me out and then we're done, right? So can we just walk through some of those and what you've seen in the marketplace of putting these together?
Absolutely. So when it comes to disability buyout planning for buy-sell agreements, I guess I should preface this piece by saying I'm not a legal or tax advisor and that all clients should consult their legal and tax advisors given their current situation. So in general, what ends up happening is that if, let's say there's two partners of a business, a privately owned business, they're going to work with their legal counsel, their attorneys, and their tax advisors to come up with what's called a buy-sell agreement. And what a buy-sell agreement effectively does is it will dictate how administratively or operationally the business would be bought out or sold in certain events, such as the death of an owner, the disability of an owner, even a divorce or some type of departure from service, like retirement, or maybe somebody had a bankruptcy and that was, you know, that doesn't help the business, so they have to depart the business for whatever reason. So how the clients structure that will be up to them and their attorney and based on a variety of things. And oftentimes in the insurance business and financial services business, life insurance gets a spotlight on buy-sell planning, and it should. It's very important. If there's a death of an owner, there could be a lot of consequences for not having liquidity available to buy out that owner. The same goes for disability planning. So whether or not you have disability insurance, if disability is a triggering event to force the buyout of a company, an owner's shares in a company, then there needs to be some type of money available to facilitate that buyout, whether it's immediately or over time is up to them. If you don't have insurance in place to fund all or part of that risk, then what I like to pose is the question, where does the money come from, right? It's a simple question, but it's key. And so if they choose not to have insurance, or maybe there's a health issue, or maybe they're just aged out of the product or whatever it may be, they still need to have a plan in place to facilitate that transaction should there be a disability. So it's a great area of business planning to focus on. So if you're in the benefits market and you're already working with owners and making decisions with them on the health plan, it doesn't hurt to ask them, hey, what are you doing for your buyout plan, buy-sell planning, and see if you can take a look at that. If you're in the financial services business, you might already be entering the equation, talking to owners about that. So that's great as well. I would say disability insurance or disability buyout insurance is a niche product. So you definitely want to work with a carrier, wholesaler like our firm, or have somebody internally at your organization that just knows the ins and outs of these, because there are a lot of moving parts. And sometimes it takes a couple carriers to get the right coverage in place. So knowing how to go through that entire process is key as well.
Yeah, and you brought up a lot of great points. I know in the few times that it's been brought up in conversation on my side, obviously the biggest point is cost, right? And so, especially for the high wage earners. But, you know, the reference I always make is that you go out and you earn a living and you go buy this nice house, house your family, right? And raise your kids, right? And you pay an insurance company to insure that risk, right? Because you're not in a position or don't want to be in the position to have to replace that property, right? If something catastrophic occur, all the belongings inside, and then the restructure, right? We all know since COVID that the cost of goods have gone through the roof, right? And so homeowners insurance has gone through the roof as well. And so, what value do you bring if we had to replace your income, right? And that's what it comes down to, right? What is that, you know, you're making, if you're a higher wage earner, let's say you're making even, you know, $500,000 a year, right? Like, what is it worth you to ensure that you still can maintain your current standard of living? What is that worth? Right. And so it's definitely at least the conversation on the table, and it should be done more often. Like you said, life insurance takes the forefront on a lot of these agreements because that's the biggest loss that people could see. They don't always see the disability side because we're all immortal, right? We're going to be able to wake up the next day and then go to work, right? We never think about the idea that we could still wake up the next day, but we don't have the ability to perform at the same level that we used to, right? And so now during some of this planning stuff that you do, and what I picked up and I just found out that it's an industry thing, but the scatter graph, right? And so it's new to me because of our conversation, but like, can you talk to a little bit about it, a little background on it, what it's used for? I know you brought it up before we started recording, but you know, when you do executive planning on this stuff, how do you use the scatter graph?
Yeah, so great question. So in addition to buyout planning for owners, in addition to owners, they also might have a management or highly compensated executive team that works with them. And a lot of times we're finding in all size businesses from small, medium to large, they may only have group LTD in place. And sometimes the percentages and caps or limitations in that product are not enough to adequately cover those highly compensated employees and owners of companies. So I use something, the scatter graph, to illustrate the coverage gap. And we've actually created a executive disability broker toolkit that this is part of. And so I believe this sounds simple, but I try to remind everyone that the first step to helping a client uncover what their gap is to identify the problem. And the scatter graph is wonderful because it visually illustrates where the gap is and which executives have a gap in coverage. Very simple. What I'll also say is that when an advisor or broker includes me in the conversation with the HR director or CFO or owner of a company, and we're sharing the coverage gap analysis for the first time, and the scatter graph's part of that, and they see the scatter graph, and they see the executive usually all the way on the right side of the graph with the largest gap with the largest disability insurance coverage gap, what we're finding is that it is an eye-opening experience, because when they have group LTD in place, subconsciously they're saying, oh, we check that box. We have disability coverage at the corporate level. We offer that benefit. Our executives are enrolled. What they don't realize is that there could be a $10,000 a month cap on that. And if you have somebody earning, you know, 200, 500, a million plus, there could be a huge gap in coverage. And you don't want to find that out at claim time. So I do try to urge insurance, benefits professionals, financial professionals to at least inform your clients of what coverage they have, do a gap analysis so they see where the gaps are. And then it'll be up to them to decide, hey, do we want to fix this coverage gap in total, maybe a portion of it, or at least we want to tell our executives, hey, there's a gap here. You need to go find coverage on your own. But informing your clients allows them to make the decision based on the facts in front of them instead of finding out at maybe a claim time that there's only a little bit of coverage for those executives.
Listen up. Butch wants to give you your own elite benefits playbook, and it's absolutely free. From business strategy to benefits strategy, every step from the start through implementation, account setup, and open enrollment, working through service requests and the process of renewals, a valuable look at your company, your insurance options, and how to make the process easier on you. Go now to elitebenefits.net/playbook and get your free Elite Benefits Playbook, or give Butch a call today, 708-535-3006.
One thing that that I think is really cool that you came up with, to some degree you probably collaborated with industry reps, is you came up with this toolkit, right? And so and can you give us a little background on the toolkit and you make it available, and how, I mean, even brokers can get access to it to help with the process and the planning with their clients?
Yep, absolutely. So actually just about 6 months ago or so, I realized that a lot of benefits consultants are not great with the process of selling executive DI programs. And it's not their fault at all. When I was a broker, I did not have the best process either. And the reason for that is because there is so much on the benefits advisor's plate, the insurance professional, they have so much going on. And the clients are the same way. They have a million decisions to make. How do you guide that conversation? So I decided to just create a process that included an easy to complete census template just for the executives that are going to be included in the plan, a questionnaire so we know which direction to guide the plan design decisions in during quoting. So hopefully that means less times having to go back to requote things. And instead of putting a carrier quote or two in front of a client, let's put together a in-depth coverage gap analysis and how to fix the coverage gap as well in one short, I think it's about 12-page PowerPoint. And in that 30-minute presentation, you can help the client identify the problem, what the coverage gap is, and then how they can fix that coverage gap. And because there's so much on the plate of the advisor and the client, all of that can be presented in under an hour to have that conversation. So that information then goes into your client's email after the call, then they can make an informed decision following that. So that's kind of what's included in the broker toolkit and the purpose behind it. And then working with a wholesaler like myself, to give myself a little commercial here, I do a lot of the work on that. So that can be taken off of the broker's plate, which is a big part of the problem, because when they are, especially if they're in the self-funded healthcare market, there are so many moving parts with each client there. They may know that, hey, there is a gap in this DI disability plan that we have at this client, but I don't have time to fix it. I don't have the staffing resources to look into this in depth. So by bringing on a third party wholesaler, you're able to take that workload off, but still get make sure your clients are educated.
Got it. And so I'll have the toolkit link, or at least the ability to reach out to you to get it in the show notes when we get to that point. So I think this has all been good, but I'm actually curious about something. One of the things, I don't think we recorded this, but you had said it, I think it was at the beginning of the podcast. You said, I went out and I did all this homework on DI and went through it. And so there's an, I noticed there's an AHIP, certification that's called Disability Income Fellow. So what is fellow, right? Can you give a little background on that? Because I thought, I'm like, we got a fellowship going on.
Yeah, so it's not quite like at the university or college type level, but AHIP is a organization within our industry, and they offer some really great educational courses on a variety of health insurance and related type products, DI being one of them. And they created two, there's several of them actually, but the two main ones that I see the most of are the DIA, Disability Income Associate designation, and Disability Income Fellow, DIF, designation. And those certifications just give you really in-depth training and knowledge on the DI market as a whole. I really enjoyed going through that course. I think it was back in 2017, 2018. 2018 is when I completed it. So yeah, it's a great program, and I found them to be pretty affordable. It was a great experience and compliment to my other certifications that I have going on. So
I'm going to say, you keep going with this, you're going to be like the doctorate of DI, right? And you got REBC, you got GBDS, you got DIF, CLU. What's next, right? Are you working on anything in a CFP maybe?
I've got some others in the works, but I don't want to put pressure on myself till they're completed. So I will leave them. There'll be more.
Leave it open. Yeah, I was going to say the doctorate of DI. Here we go. Grayson, this has been great. I would like to invite you back on at some point. We'll talk about some other DI topics, especially at the executive level. I think it's important because these business owners grow these companies, and let's say they're two or three regimes in, right? Generations and there's just no planning involved, right? Or very little. And so you want to make sure you cover those gaps, because you don't want employee bases to go out of business, right? And they have to be unemployed because all of a sudden somebody is disabled or whatever the case might be, and they can't cover the overhead and payroll and keep things moving. So Grayson, this has been great. I'll put things in the show notes and we'll have you back. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much, Butch. I appreciate it. Have a good one.